Would you pray with me as we get into the word today? Father, I thank you so much for all that you are doing and all that you are speaking to us, even this morning. Lord, our heart's desire is to speak Jesus, to speak your name. Lord, we thank you that you are the God that is so infinite and so creative. Lord God, that you will expand us even this morning, God, to be able to see you in different facets of life, to be able to see you where you're working, even in our own lives, God, where we said, Lord, where are you? Lord, help us to recognize that you've been moving every single day of our lives. Lord, that you've ordained every step that we've taken. Lord God, that you've allowed things to come where you say, Lord, either you will take us out of things, Lord, or you'll be there and go through them with us, God, because you never leave us nor forsake us. But Lord, this morning I'm asking that by your Spirit you would bring forth your truth and your word that separates, Lord, and brings us into understanding and brings us into revelation and truth. Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see you in greater measure. Open up our ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us individually and for us as a church, Lord God, and open up our hearts to receive that revelation this morning. Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for it, and we bless you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, shout amen. 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 God has been doing some amazing things in recent weeks. Have you enjoyed the Lord moving in our gatherings? How many of you enjoyed just being able to receive that teaching last week on the baptism of the Holy Spirit with Dr. Peters? Hopefully you have spent even some more time, you know, this week pressing in and allowing the Holy Spirit to pour out of you. But can I encourage you that there's so much more that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives? I concur with everything that's been shared this morning. You know, I encourage you to join Jessica and all of us on Wednesday night, because we're all called to do the work of an evangelist. We're all called to be carriers of the glory of God, ambassadors for Christ. And can I tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to speak and minister to every single person that we come in contact with. He'll let us know when they're ready. The Holy Spirit will let us know who to speak with and who not to speak with. I'm not saying you have to tell everybody. You should have a desire to, and the Holy Spirit will give you that desire, but he'll also give you the wisdom, the words to say. He'll give you the images. He'll give you the prophetic utterances. He'll give you the anointing to be able to see the miracles that need to take place at the mentioning of the name of Jesus. But this morning, I want to just build upon what has been happening as we started this year with abiding in Christ. We never move on from that. Let me make that clear. We don't start out the year with abiding in Christ, having prayer and fasting and saying, okay, we got it. We got this figured out. No, we are called to abide in the presence of the Lord. That's what we were created for. Do you understand that? You believe you were created for him? Do you believe you were created for fellowship? That's what we were designed for. We were designed to house the literal glory of God. And a couple weeks ago, I shared a message that was, who is like our Lord? And we shared a few different things. We've talked about the mercy of God, how it brings us to repentance. And part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to bring conviction, to convict the world of sin. And not just the world, but the world that's within the church, to get that out of the church. To get all of us in the place where we can be in closer fellowship with God. Because, yes, he never leaves us nor forsakes us, but the quality of our relationship is determined by what we do with what we know we are supposed to do. You know, holiness does allow there to be close fellowship with the Lord. I'm not advocating legalism. I'm not advocating a list of rules of do's and don'ts. I'm advocating a heart that doesn't want to disappoint him. I'm advocating a heart that longs to love and to bring something that is sweet to him on a daily basis, that my life honors him and gives him something that is of worth. And so this morning, the Holy Spirit again wants to take us deeper. He wants to take us deeper. The message title doesn't fully reflect all that he wants to speak, but it's just kind of a part two of a couple weeks ago. There is none like you. There is none like you. On Wednesday night, we gathered together for a time of worship and prayer. And how many of you were here? It was such a sweet time. At the end, the Lord prompted this song in my heart that I hadn't heard in quite some time. It was written. I looked it up because I told everybody that was here. I'm like, I can't remember how old this song is. Because the older you get, the time span, you know, it's like, was that 10 years ago? This was 33 years ago, 1991, There Is None Like You was actually written. So it's like, wow, man, I'm getting old. And some of you would say, oh, you're just a child. And I understand that. But in any case, there's something about the simple verse of There Is None Like You. How many of you know the song? Anybody not know the song? Okay, some of the younger generation. Obviously, 33 years is a long time. Can we sing that this morning? I'm not a great singer, but I'll start us, and the collective chorus is going to make a good sound, right? Thank you, Lord. I want you to just close your eyes. It's not for us to look around at anybody. Something about silencing our hearts so that we can receive from the Lord. And when we say these words, and we mean these words, when we say there's none like you, God, we recognize what he's done for our lives in the past. We recognize what he's done for others. We recognize and take a moment to be intentional about what he's doing in this present moment. And we also recognize what he promises for the future. Thank you, Lord. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. That's the chorus. Sing it again. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. You're getting it one more time. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's another verse. We won't sing it. There is none like you. I found myself singing this all week. I'm like, God, why do these things happen? Maybe, you know, it's a good refrain, but every time you get in the shower, you're waking up, you're going driving in the car, you're going to sleep at night, this refrain just kept coming up. Lord, there's none like you. There's none like you. And when you say that, there's something that happens to your heart where it begins to soften and it begins to come to a place where it's a constant recognition. It's a constant recognition that it's not about me. It's not about what's going on in my life. It's not about what I understand or don't understand. It's simply, Lord, there's none like you. And when you sing that, it's as if the presence of God comes. The presence of God comes and he fills wherever it is that you're at. And you recognize that you're housed again, as I mentioned. You're housed to host the glory of God. You are a temple. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a temple that regardless of whether you feel that you're clean or not this morning, it's not a focus on how much do I need a shower. It's Lord, I want you and I'm just focusing on you. Lord, there's none like you. And you know what happens when you do that? something amazing happens because Jesus does what we don't expect. Jesus comes in and he washes our feet. Jesus comes in and he cleanses us. Jesus comes in and he does the cleaning. We bring ourselves to him and we focus ourselves on him, and he comes and he does the hard, heavy lifting. This is the way of the gospel, that we can do nothing to enter into his presence. We cannot earn his salvation. We cannot earn a place in the seat of the master, but he simply says, come, come to me and believe in me and watch what I do. Watch what I do. We overcomplicate everything in life. But Jesus just simply says, come. Do I understand there's a cost to following after Jesus? Absolutely. I'm not going to shirk the mindset or the understanding that it will cost you everything to follow Jesus. But it's worth it. Let's think about it. What is your What is your life worth? What is your life worth apart from God? Think about the striving that we go through as humans. Think about the things that we try to add to our life. Think about the amazing relationships that we have, as awesome as they are. Think about the things that you can do to gain money in your pocket. Think of the things that you can do to gain things in this earth. At some point, you recognize all of that can be gone within an hour. All of that could be gone within a moment. Life is fragile. Storms come. I used to be in disaster relief, and I know what it's like to see people losing their homes to a fire, to a flood, to an earthquake. Things happen, and it's distressing and it's disturbing to so many because you don't know what to do, because all of your life you strived for this. You strived to build this, and probably you're still in debt to pay off of that thing that was just destroyed. And you find yourself chasing after these things. The most wise person in all the earth, Solomon, who was granted wisdom from the Lord, said all of these things, it's like chasing after the wind. Vanity of all vanity. He found himself with all these things. He sought after. He had the most amazing riches. He built the temple for God, a beautiful temple for the Lord. But it was not enough. He had relationships. He had wives and concubines, and we know that for a wise person, it seems like a crazy decision. But in any case, he could not be fulfilled. Sex was not enough for him. Are you hearing me? Relationships, momentary gratification was not enough for him. Wealth was not enough for him. Power was not enough for him. Understanding was not enough for him. And eventually, his wisdom led him to the place where he realized, I am nothing. I am nothing without the Lord my Maker. And that's where we all have to come to. There is none like you. There is none like you. I'm just going to share a couple of moments with you. Open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. How many of you would say that Paul was a wise man as well? Why? Because he simply said yes to the Lord. He thought he was wise before he encountered Jesus, only to realize that everything he knew up until that point, while he did his best to serve and honor God by his deeds, he ended up having a great misconception, a great misunderstanding, and persecuted those whom the Lord loved. And he has that encounter, knocked straight to the ground and blinded so that the Lord could speak to him and say, Saul, why are you persecuting me? But he comes to this place after the fact, after encountering Jesus. This is what it's like to know that there's none like him. And I, brethren, verse 1, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. He's coming to Corinth. He's coming to the place where that's exactly what they want. They want the wise words. They want these philosophical terms. They want the words that you have to look up in a dictionary to find out because it makes them feel better. Knowledge puffs up, and that's all that they had. was this way to puff themselves up on man's understanding and make themselves gods. They were infatuated with gods and idols. And they would even take this perspective into the house of God, into wanting there to be somebody that could be so articulate and share something that was so new revelation, new this, new that. And Paul was not by any means a timid or a foolish man. You look at the book of Acts and you can see him preaching a very articulate and wise message, a convincing message. He could have done that. But he comes on the scene and he says to them, I'm not coming to you with wise words according to what you're looking for. I'm coming to you with the power of the Holy Spirit that says this. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Yeah, because they were out for his life. He was to be persecuted. They didn't like his message. Yeah, the church wanted his message, but the government did not want his message. The religious didn't want his message. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We've cried this out several times over the last couple of weeks. Lord, unless you come, I am not enough. Lord, unless you come, I am not enough. I don't want to do anything void of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I've done it enough. I don't want to try to excite you this morning. I don't want to wow you with words or a presentation. We love to be entertained. And it's like that Gladiator movie. And I'm not telling you to go watch Gladiator because I know there's probably tons of stuff in it. It's been so many years. You might need it with VidAngel or something. But regardless, you remember, is it Russell Crowe? Is that the one? Yeah. Is he the one? He goes, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And there was this presentation of you're trying to be entertained, but it's all foolishness. You're literally taking the lives of people. And can I tell you, that's what we're doing in the church. We're trying to be entertained while so many of us are dying inside because we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit present in our lives. We want a word that tickles our ears and makes us motivated and to feel joy for a moment or elation in a moment to deal with our depression and our anxiety and all the foolishness, because that's what the world gives and that's the way of the world. The world produces death, but the Spirit brings life. The church cannot operate without the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't need wise words. We need wise people who say, yes, Jesus, I will not be entertained by the things of the world, but Lord, I will give my heart for you and declare an understanding. There is none like you. There is none like you. I want to know Christ and him crucified, because he didn't just die for us. He showed us how to die. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak this wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, underline this in your Bible, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Let me echo these words as Paul was echoing the prophecy of Isaiah when he said this. He wasn't talking about eternity in the sense of heaven. He wasn't saying, think about what it will be in the sweet by and by. He wasn't talking about what it's going to be after this life. He was talking about a very present moment. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard all the things that God wants to do right now for you. To show you my great salvation. To save you from yourselves. To allow the Holy Spirit, my Spirit, to come into you. to receive fresh revelation. You want somebody else to give it to you? I told you, I give you myself to receive it for yourself. That the keys of the kingdom come to those that are in his presence. I love how Kim and Victoria, you mentioned all these things about baggage. Can I tell you, when you go through the process of the tabernacle, and you go from the outer courts to the inner courts, and then into the Holy of Holies, can I tell you, you're not bringing a bunch of baggage into the Holy of Holies. The closer you get to the presence of God, the less you have with you. The less you have with you, not more. Because you gain him. Only that which is his can be in his presence. Everything else, there's a storm that surrounds him. Everything else gets burned up. If it's not of him, it will not last. And we find ourselves just with everything else. The things that will be tested in the last days are the things that remain. Those things that can... That can bear the fire and the flames and the heat. Is it wood, hay, and stubble, or is it riches of glory and riches of life, those jewels that come from the Lord? Those things that are produced through faith. Those things that are produced through obedience. Those things that are produced through being developed by the Lord in his very presence. But God has revealed them. This is how you know he's not talking about heaven, okay? But God has revealed them to us, the things that are not seen or not heard, that nor have entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. This is what I'm telling you, the power and presence and the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Not just for praying in tongues, not just for convicting us of sin, though all of these things are so important, when the Spirit works in us, all of these things come into view. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Man looks at the outward, but God looks at the inward. The Holy Spirit can see that which is inside a man. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know that the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. What a great teacher. Comparing spiritual things to spiritual. What we tend to do in the church is compare spiritual things to natural because we want to feel better about ourselves. But the Holy Spirit compares spiritual to spiritual so that there's an actual playing field, an equal playing field. It's not to say, hey, we got to be better, we got to do more, got to do this. No, it's reality. We want the Lord to be the consuming fire that he is so that only that which is his will remain. Only that which comes from him will last. That's what we want. That's what produces life anyway. When I give of myself, my words produce death. That's part of the human nature. It produces death. It produces after its own kind. But that which comes from the Spirit produces life. It multiplies. It causes transformation and change. It causes grace to empower whatever words come from my mouth. How many of you know you can speak the truth? But then you can speak the truth in love. True speaking the truth in love is not saying, oh, I love you so much and I'm going to slap you aside the head because I know better than you. That's not speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love is speaking the truth in God because God is love. Allowing the Spirit of God to speak truth through you because otherwise, again, it tears down and it corrupts. The words that will come forth to you, even though they may be true, when we present ourselves, the tone matters, right? We understand that those things could begin to cause somebody to be losing their identity because we spoke the truth, but we just made them feel like a failure. We just made them feel like they were condemned. We just made them feel like everything that they believed and the lies in their head were true. That's the way the enemy works, and he loves it when we do that, and we fall prey to that. But the Lord's saying, I want you to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth that it allows the person to receive the grace. What is that grace? The empowerment to walk it out. the empowerment to overcome sin, the empowerment to overcome temptation, the empowerment to live the life that Christ has called us to. He doesn't call us into a life that is impossible. It is impossible with the flesh, but it is not impossible with Him. So therefore, we live impossible lives. Hallelujah. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Wow. Wow. Don't you ever say again that you're stupid. Don't you ever again say that you don't know enough, you're never going to be good enough, whatever lie you want to throw in there. If you have the mind of Christ, that means all things are available to you. This isn't to be puffed up, because even Christ is not puffed up. When you receive the mind of Christ, you also receive the heart of Christ. They are not separated. They're one. And so we receive the mind of Christ. We want our minds to be renewed and renewed and renewed and renewed. And sometimes we get this word in us so that our mind is renewed, but we forget about the other parts of our body that need to be renewed as well. Our soul, our emotions, and all of those things, and our bodies, and all of this. When Jesus saved us, he saved all of us. The salvation of God is body, soul, and spirit. Our spirit comes alive, and our spirit's supposed to be leading. But sometimes when we come to the Lord in salvation, how many of you know, we don't let the spirit lead. We still let our soul lead. We still let our bodies lead. We still let our hunger lead us instead of our spirit lead us. We still let our emotions. I don't feel like worshiping right now. Well, guess what? You allow yourself to get into the presence of God, and then you will feel like it. Your spirit says, I will connect with the Lord for all eternity. I will never cease praising. I will never cease intercession, because my heart cries out as deep cries out unto deep. It connects with all that's going on in heaven, and there's power and empowerment tied up within that. So we got to get rid of the stinking thinking and the foolish ideologies and allowing our bodies to say, oh, I can't do it because I got a limp. Well, guess what? Tell your body that Jesus bore your sickness upon his back. He bore your infirmities on the wounds, on the stripes that went across his back. His blood covered your sin. His blood gave you the mercy to enter in, but the stripes on his back said your body, your soul, your emotions that need the healing, he bore those things as well. So allow those to be healed. Hallelujah. Man, there's so much, and we're not going to get to half of this. There might be a part three. Is that all right? Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see. Psalm or Isaiah. Jesus. Might dab a little bit of both and we'll close, all right? Psalm 29, real quick. Psalm 29. Just to remind you, there's none like him. There's no one like you. There's none like you, God. And if there's none like him, there's none like you. You, individuals. In verse 1, Psalm 29, give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Can I call you who you really are this morning? You're mighty ones. You're not weak ones. You're not foolish ones. You're mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. There's none like him. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon, the greatest, thickest forest you can imagine. He splits those things. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. Let me add on to that, and I believe it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Can you believe the Lord, even in the midst of the wilderness he allowed you to go through, he will shake that wilderness if you allow him to. Instead of walking around that wilderness for 40 years like the Israelites, he'll allow you to receive what he wanted the whole time. And you can do that shorter journey. I'm not saying, oh, this is microwave generation, microwave Christianity, we just want everything now. No. The Lord wants to produce something to you, and if you just simply submit to him, he will take you through a lot faster than your flesh feels that it needs to. Surrender that flesh. Let it die. The Lord will shake the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory! Glory! In his temple we cry glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. That is our God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Quickly. This will be more of a reflection again of who he is, but also what he's doing to us, in us, for us, what he's already done, what he's already made available. Those of you that came in weak and distraught this morning, listen to these words. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. In your barrenness, make the way ready for the Lord to come in. In your desert place, where you have nothing to feast on, make way, make ready yourself for God and all those around you that say, where is he? There is no God. Is this God even real? Is there a generation saying, is this God we serve? Is he real? I look at the church and I don't know. I look at the people of God and I cannot be convinced. Is he real? What does he actually save us from? What does he actually save us for? Talking to the people of God this morning, the Holy Spirit must be at work and in operation in our lives. If we know that there's none like him, we will do everything within to allow his Spirit to operate through us so that the one there's no one like can be in operation through us. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed in all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Isn't that what Jesus did when he came on the scene? Didn't he make mountains low? And didn't he bring those that were down in the valley, down in the depths of despair? Didn't he bring them up? Didn't he dine with sinners? Didn't he find those that were the outcasts and heal them first? Didn't he go across a stormy sea, even though he was at peace and at rest, to encounter a man that had a legion of demons, to set him free, only to go back into the boat the very next moment across the same sea he just crossed? He goes to great lengths. He goes through storms just to bring freedom to you. He causes mountains to be brought low. Those things that you think are mountains, he removes. He removes unbelief. He removes despair. He removes the unbelief that comes to his people. He hates it. He hates the spirit of unbelief because it voids his ability to work in your life. We are the only ones that can restrict him. He made it so. He made it so. By our own unbelief, we can refuse him. Lord, help us. Help us. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. The word of our God stands forever. Even in the natural, they tried to get rid of this book. You don't need necessarily this book in your hand to know the word of God. But I'm thankful that in America we are able to have this. I'm thankful that we're able to have 97 or however many hundreds of translations at our fingertips on our phones. That's pretty amazing, pretty awesome. But can I tell you, his word stands forever, even in those that opposed him fiercely. In the late 1700s, there was a French man named Voltaire. You remember him? History students? He said that this word, Christianity, would not go another 100 years. In 100 years, it'll be brought to nothing. Well, you know what happened? His very house, his very printing press became the place where this word of God would be reproduced for the multitudes. Our God's word stands forever. In the natural and in the spirit. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into high mountain, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him. His reward is with him. His reward was with him when he was ministering with the disciples. His reward was with him when he walked the face of this earth. But can I tell you, his reward is still with him. Wherever he is, it is with him. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. The rewards of the Lord are with those that come into his very presence, into the Holy of Holies, past the veil that was torn for you and I. I'm going to ask the worship team to get ready. Get ready to come. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He's such a good shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with the young. I won't get into it, but you understand the importance of us being called sheep and him being called a shepherd. Sheep can't do anything by themselves. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? There's no one like him. Think about that, the beauty of the stars, every sand on the sea, all the waters of the earth, the weight of the mountains, measures it in his hands. Or who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? Can anyone teach him? You can't teach him anything. Sometimes we pray like that. With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beast sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. This is in measure, as in he is so vast and so large and so amazing and so far beyond. Doesn't mean that he doesn't have the nations still for his inheritance. Doesn't mean that his heart still beats for all of humanity and for none to perish but all to receive everlasting life. It says, to whom then will you liken God? Who is like him? Or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image. The goldsmith overspreads it with gold. And the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth. When he will also blow on them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then? To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Who brings out their host by number? He calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have you not seen? Have you not heard? Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is our God. There is no other. There is no one like him. This is the very God that says, my spirit that makes all of these things possible, I place within you. That should tell you every obstacle that you face is nothing. If the nations are but a drop in the bucket, what do you think your financial concern is? If the entire universe is like dust weighed on a scale, what do you think it's like for God to be able to bring a miracle in your family? To bring a change in your workplace? To heal your marriage? To bring salvation to your loved ones? To free you from an addiction? There's no one like our God. When you feel like you've got no strength, hey, I understand. We age, and as we age, things start to creak and start to make noises, and things take longer to heal in the natural. But can I tell you, it doesn't matter, because when the Spirit of God comes upon us, we neither weary nor faint. He brings strength for us. He overcomes us. Can I tell you, some of the most powerful prayers I have ever received were by old men and old women that could barely lift their finger, but prayed, and the glory of God came in such power, in such anointing, in such might. Why? Because they carried the strength of heaven. They didn't carry their own strength. Their body may have been frail, but my, they were mighty. My, they were mighty. You are the mighty ones. Fire Church, you are the mighty ones. Oh, beloved bride, you are the mighty ones. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. You are the mighty ones. You want to see if God is real? Say yes to him just one time. Just one time. And see what takes place. And then repeat. Do it again. Do it again. And if what you ask him the first time wasn't big enough, make sure it's bigger the next time. I'm not saying be audacious. I'm not saying be foolish. I'm simply saying we don't ask God enough. We don't allow our hearts to have faith enough. We're content with our measure of faith, but the Lord is desiring beyond all get out to give us more faith so that he can act. It says, we've said it again and again and again, he searches the whole earth looking for those who are what? Completely his. Completely his. Is that us this morning? Is that us this morning? Have you opened up yourself for the Holy Spirit to come and fill to greater measure this morning? Yeah, we know, as we mentioned last week, sometimes praying in tongues, that allows our mind to be shut off. Doesn't make us stupid. Doesn't make us foolish. It allows us to connect with the heart of God so that he can begin to speak. I want you to take a moment right now, even as we close. You got a prayer language? Go ahead and pray. Whether it's out loud or inside, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to him either. Right now, make space for him. Lord, we can do nothing apart from you. That was the whole message of abiding. You told us to abide in you because apart from your Father, you could do nothing. And you tell us, apart from you, we can do nothing. So, Lord, we need you and we recognize it, God, in humility. And even beyond humility, we recognize it with desire. Our hearts hunger and thirst for you, God. In a land where there's seemingly dryness, desert, and no water. Where all of the world wants to be entertained with things that don't matter. God, we want to be entertaining you. How do we do that? Those that worship him in spirit and in truth. Those that walk in his ways. Those that entertain his spirit. Not that are given over to pleasures and fleshly lusts and even spiritual lusts, but those that have their hearts connected with his. I said I was just reading those two things. I'm reading this last thing, I promise, and we will be done. But continue praying in the spirit. You need to hear this. You need this to fill you, to fill your inner man. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Preach this all the time at weddings, but we all most often miss the point. 1 Corinthians 13 is not so that you can learn what it's like to love. It's how you love him. It's how you are to love him. It shows part of his characteristics, but it's how you love him. Let me show you real fast. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I pray in the Spirit all day long, but have not love, it's not going to work. If I don't gain him, but just continue in the Spirit, then the world won't receive me because they need all of me. They need my motivation. My main motivation has always been and will always be love, because that's part of who I am. I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal, and though I have the gift of prophecy and all understand and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. The famous verses, love suffers long and is kind. Our love suffers as we pursue him. Our love suffers and is kind as we look at him. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, nor is puffed up, but does not behave rudely, but does not seek its own. It is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. This sounds like somebody who is walking in the presence of God. Because you can't rejoice in those things in his presence. But if you rejoice in the truth, you're rejoicing with the things that he rejoices over. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, Then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. So this love tells me, as I pursue in love, I move from seeing in a glass or a mirror dimly to a place where I encounter him face to face. I know we will do that in eternity, for all eternity, but can I tell you, the Spirit makes it available now for you to see him face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. When I was a child, I knew nothing, but now I put away childish things so that I can enter by the love of God into the presence of his face. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Stand with me. Stand with me, saints. There is none like him. There's no love like the love of our God. There's no love like a Savior that would go to the cross and die for us. There's no love like the one that would allow his physical body to be beaten and to be bruised, for his soul to feel the rejection and the betrayal of those whom he loved and knew that he was going to give his life for. There's no greater love than one who is willing to lay down his life for his friends. This is our God that chooses to come in the flesh to represent what it's like to live as he lives and to die as he died, to die to the flesh, to die to the knowledge that brings you to the place of making yourself your own God instead of acknowledging him as God, the one true God. So, Father, I thank you all across this room, the saints that are here. Lord, you are building us up. You are building us up by your very Spirit and by your word. Lord, I thank you that your word will never return void. I thank you that when your word goes forth, it does produce exactly what it set out to do. Lord, I thank you that there is 30, 60, and 100-fold return in this place this morning, because when they leave this place, it doesn't stop here. They don't leave it here, but it continues by your Spirit to bear fruit, to begin to cultivate in their hearts, that all of a sudden in their homes, there begins to be something that shakes as they recognize, God, there is no one like you. In the midst of my desert, in the midst of my wilderness, I will look to you who makes me no longer weary, who doesn't allow me to faint, who comforts me with the greatest comfort that there ever could be, that loves me with an undying love, that teaches me to walk in your ways, to love you, to dwell in your presence, and to sing, there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity and find there's none like you, God. There's none like you, God. Make us one with you. I believe you make us holy because you are holy. We lay down our lives, Lord, this morning. We say yes, a greater yes to you. We say yes to your Spirit's prompting. I didn't tell you to stop praying in the Spirit, friends. I know it can be tiring according to our flesh, but your Spirit's so thirsty. Your Spirit is desperate this morning for an encounter with the living God. We cannot move unless we have him in our being. He gives us the very breath of life. Breathe in the atmosphere of heaven, saints. Breathe in the love of God. Breathe in the acceptance of your Father, who says, you are mighty ones. You are not forgotten. You are my beloved. You are the one upon whom my gaze has always been. I look at you and I love you. I look at you and I see you in the future. I look at you and I see who I've created and destined. I see you not as you were. I see you not as you are right now, but as you will be. And I'm moving you there. I'm wooing you there. I'm providing for you. I've made every sustenance. I've made every provision possible for every miracle to take place. If you will just simply come. It's all here and it's all free. It's all free. His grace is sufficient for you today. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it.